Is it possible that a sinner will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ through the excellency of the speaker, or the wisdom of the one that's doing the speaking, the attractiveness of the speaker. You know, there were multitudes that heard Christ Jesus the Lord speak Himself, and yet they didn't believe on Him. They didn't believe on Him. We wouldn't think there's ever been a greater teacher than the Master Himself, the one who is the Word Himself. And yet multitudes didn't believe on Him. But will a sinner believe on the God of his imagination by the attractiveness of the speaker, or the excellency of the one that's speaking? Indeed he will. Indeed he will. And that's what Paul was fearful of. Look down at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You've heard me speak about men who preached the gospel to me and men who I love dearly. You've heard me speak of them with love and affection and great appreciation for them. You know why? You know what the reason is? They declared to me from the Scriptures Christ and Him crucified. They didn't go the way of the intellectual and try to impress me and attract me by something in them or in some way that they spoke. And they didn't go the way of the works religionist and try to mix law and grace and give me something to do. They preached Christ, His glorious person, and Him crucified. That's what they did. They preached Christ to me. And the Spirit of God came into my heart, and He's the one that gave me life and gave me faith and made me to hear His name and His message and His gospel and believe on Him so that He gets all the praise and all the glory. Our Lord said this. He said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You know, preaching the gospel requires a man to lay down his life. Lay down his wisdom, lay down his excellency, lay down anything that he of himself that he would think could speed along the process, lay it all down. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And you know what the Lord said right after that? He said, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I've made known unto you." I've declared the truth to you. That's what the Lord did. The truth doesn't need man's wisdom. The testimony of God doesn't need man's excellency. It just needs to be proclaimed. It just needs to be set forth. And God in power will do the work. He will do the work in the heart. If anybody had excellency of speech, wisdom that could use wisdom, it was Paul. He was taught in the best schools, brought up under Gamaliel. He knew the teachings of the Pharisees. He knew the ways. He knew what impressed men. He knew all those things. He knew Greek. He was very learned. Paul was very learned. He could speak on current issues. He could talk about all the issues of the day with people. But this is what he said. Here's the first thing we see. Paul's desire was to preach only Christ and Him crucified. Look at verse 1. "And I, brethren," 1 Corinthians 2, 1, "and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Why is the gospel called the testimony of God? Because that's what it is. It's God's testimony. Is God testifying of His own Son? If the Lord speaks today in power by His Spirit, and He speaks into somebody's heart for the first time today, Or if he speaks to somebody that already knows him and speaks in our heart so that we have this union with him and hear his voice, this is what he's going to say. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." That's exactly what the Lord God is going to speak into the heart of his child. "This is my Son. Hear ye him. Hear of my Son's deity. Hear that this one who came forth, Jesus Christ, is my Son, God the Son. He is God in human flesh. Hear of my Son's mediation. Hear that the Father said, I put everything into his hand to mediate everything I have for my people, to between me and my people, to give it to my people. I've entrusted all into the hands of my Son, and he'll get all the glory for being the one that mediates this grace through the Holy Spirit to my people. Hear of his obedience and his suffering. Hear about God's not interested in the obedience and the suffering that you and I go through, because our obedience is not righteousness and our suffering is not righteousness. The suffering and obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ is righteous obedience. It's righteous suffering. It's the one who, by his obedience unto death, perfected the law, established the law, satisfied justice for his people, brought in the righteousness required for his people. Hear of his resurrection. God, you know what it means that God has raised his Son out of the grave? Christ Jesus the Lord out of the grave. You know what that means? It means God is satisfied. Satisfied with his Son. Satisfied with that glorious one who came to redeem his people. This is what God's going to speak into the heart. He's going to make us hear of his Son. He's going to make us hear that his Son's coming back. His Son's coming back to judge this world in righteousness, because all judgment's his. And this world's coming back, and the Lord's coming back into this world, and he's taking all his children to glory with him. This is what God's going to speak. Look at verses 9 down there. "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." God prepared them. That's the message. "God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." And how do we speak these things? How do we speak these things? Look at verse 13. "Which things also we speak." You see all that he just said? That's the testimony of God. The things God's freely given to them that love him. Those things God's prepared for them that love him. Those things God has accomplished in the person of his Son. How do we speak these things? How do we set forth these things? Look at verse 13. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." We look at these words. You know what we just did? We heard this word declared, and we just compared what was said with what the Scripture says. That's comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. That's what we do. That's we speak these things that God's revealed. This is his testimony. It's his word. Can you imagine if somebody sent you forth to tell something about you and about your name and about your Son, and you gave them everything to say and handed it into their hands and said, "Now go say this to them." And they changed it. You know, we'd fail. The post office would fire a mail carrier for that. If he opened up your mail and changed it, changed everything it said, wrote down what he wanted to write in it, and said to you what he thought ought to be said to you, he'd be fired in a heartbeat, wouldn't he? As Paul says here, verse 1, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know what would have pleased men for Paul to have done? It would have pleased men for Paul to have come and to said, now, listen, this is the grace of God, but now, here's some things you can do. That would have pleased men greatly. Here's some things you can do to establish this righteousness, make it good for you. Men would love that. If he would have come and said, now anytime you get good and ready, you can exercise your free will. There ain't never been a man in this world put out, put down, bloodshed, crucified, railed, spit upon, run through the mud, rejected of men. There's never in the history of this world been a man rejected for that message, ever. That's the message of Satan. That's the message of ungodly, hell-deserving reprobates. That's the message of a hell-deserving sinner. And there's never been a hell-deserving sinner reject another hell-deserving sinner for that message. He'll heap upon him rewards and accolades and honors and everything else. Just tell me a lie. Just don't tell me the truth. That's man's nature. He would have been well pleased in the men if he'd have come and said, Christ didn't accomplish the eternal redemption of his people. He didn't lay down his life for the sheep and accomplish their redemption. He just laid down his life for everybody without exception and just made it possible. If he'd have said that, men would have just heaped honors upon him and riches upon him. But you know what he'd have been doing? He'd have been not declaring the testimony of God. He would have not been declaring the gospel of God's own Son. He would have been a man-pleaser and not the servant of God. And he said, let everybody damn me if they will. He said, this is my message. I got one message. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world's crucified unto me and I unto the world. There's a book article in your bulletin this morning by Brother Henry Mahan. What is it to be dead to the world? Tells about this student asked his Bible teacher there, what is it to be dead to the world? He said, go out there to the grave. And he said, go out there to that where that man is laid in the grave. And he said, criticize him and criticize him and criticize him. And he said, when you get through, brag on him and brag on him and brag on him. And he came back and he said, what did he say? What did he say when you criticized him? He said, he didn't say anything. What did he say when you bragged on him? He didn't say anything. He's dead. Paul said, so be it. I'm crucified, this world's crucified unto me, and I unto this world. He said, I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Look over at Philippians chapter 3. You know what Paul suffered because of that? You know what he suffered because of that? Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency. There's the excellency. Not the excellency of man's wisdom. Not the excellency of work. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That's what I count all things lost for. For whom? He said, I've suffered the loss of all things. But I count them all dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. That's the first thing. Paul was determined to preach Christ and Him crucified. Here's the second thing. Paul knew what he was. He knew what he was. He knew he was just a man. Look at verse 1 Corinthians 2:3. He said, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I don't have any doubt about it that that's exactly how Paul appeared before those that he spoke to, before his hearers. He said that, or they said that. He said, for his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. The Apostle Paul, I guarantee you this, if we could put a lineup, just like you have a lineup of men, like they bring you in, they put a, make a lineup, you have to pick out which one's the one, you know. I guarantee if we put all a bunch of preachers from today and the past in a lineup and said, choose which one of these to Apostle Paul, I bet you none of us would say that's him. I bet you everyone would look at him and say, that can't be the Apostle Paul. Surely that's not the man God used. Surely that's not him. And Paul knew, though, that his own strength wasn't in himself. He knew that. He said this. He said, I've learned to take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. But this is what, most of all, this was his desire. This is what concerned him more than anything else. The need of those that heard him. That's what this fear and this trembling and this weakness was, most of all. A fear and a desire of knowing the need of those to whom he preached. A fearfulness for them. I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians 11:3. Look what he said to them. 2 Corinthians 11:3. He said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Look at chapter 12 there, 2 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 20. He said, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, such as I am, would like to find you, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. That we not be of the same mind in Christ anymore. Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. He said, that's what I'm fearful of. That's what I'm fearful of. That's the, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's what he said. That's my heart's desire and prayer to Israel. And I was with you in fear, weakness, and fear and trembling, he said. Now look back at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 2:4. He said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know, we think of a demonstration, we think of that man at the end of the aisle in the grocery store or in the department store that's showing us how something works. So we look at how they're doing it and we see it demonstrated. So what the demonstration of the Spirit and the power is, it's the ability to speak this word as it is. And not gloss it and not take the edge off of it and not water it down, to preach it in truth and wait on Christ through the Spirit to do the work. And that's what happened when Paul preached. He did the work. He did the work. Look at verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Paul, the Lord said to Peter, whom say ye that I am? You see, that's the question. Who do you say Christ is? Simon Peter answered, and he said, he asked, what do men say of me? And he said, well, some say this, some say that, some say the other thing. He said, but what do ye say of me? What do you say of me? That's the question. To not the person over there, what they think is, what do you think of? What do you think of Christ? And Peter answered, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "You're blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven, that's who made that known unto you." The Lord said a man must be born of the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that must quicken him. This is the weakness and the trembling and the fear that the preacher of God has is this. Here's the key. Here's the key of what is most causes the most fear in somebody God really sends. Look at verse 5. 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Can you teach your dog tricks? You can teach a man anything. We can teach a man anything. We get a man to jump through any. We can get him to sit up, sit down, bark, lay down, stand up, roll over, beg, do whatever. Just like you can get a dog to do it. I don't want that. I do not want that. You know what I want? I want the revelation of Christ to be made in the heart of sinners. I want men to have this saving operation performed in them by the Spirit of God, whereby He gives faith in the heart and draws them to Himself and plants them in Christ. Because this is what I know. Whatever starts of God in Christ by the Spirit of God will be carried out that same way, by that same means, and we'll be pleased and happy and kept there. And whatever starts out in the flesh will perish the same way. It'll perish the same way. He's a Jew, not one outwardly. Circumcision's out of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And this is so, brethren, I want to end 1 Peter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter 4:11. This is so in the preaching of the word, in faith. This is so, I think, I know I've been probably been lenient when I should have been more firm, and I've probably been more firm when I should have been more lenient. But this is the thing. This is the most concern of my heart. Didn't Paul know that this was going to come about by God alone? Yes, he did. But he still said, I'm fearful that, you know, I don't want your wisdom to stand in the spirit and the faith in the with. I don't want your faith to be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He was fearful of that. He used great carefulness in that regard. This is what Peter said. It's the same with everything we do in this place. I don't want it to be done because people feel forced or compelled or made to do something, because God's led us of His Spirit to do it and made us of one mind in the thing. Look at what Peter says here. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That's what Paul said. Right here, what this word said. Let him speak what this word said. And look at this. And if any man minister, that takes in every brother, every sister in Christ. If we minister, serve with our time, our whatever the Lord's given us. If any man speaks, let him do it as the oracles of God. If any man ministers, look at this. Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Whether it's spoken or done or both. Whatever it is that God's given us to do. Whatever gift He's laid upon each other. Let him do it as the ability which God giveth. Why? That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right.